I'm Kara Lawrence. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. And along with hearing the Sphinx Virtuosi Tuesdays in February, I'll also be joined by a special guest and friend, Western Michigan University music major John Boyd, a violist with a passion for discovering and performing music written by composers of color throughout the ages. Tonight we'll start with a composer who wrote the music you're hearing now, a composer with a difficult name to pronounce and an even more unbelievable life. John, welcome to WMUK.
Yes, thank you for having me here.
We're going to be talking about a really great composer you picked out in a few minutes, but this is a chance to get to know you a little better and introduce you to listeners. So would you tell me a little bit about your musical background up until this point here at Western?
I've been playing viola for about 11 years. I started in the public school system, just like most other people, and then my senior year of high school, I decided that I wanted to, you know, pursue a life in this, and I auditioned here at Western, and I was accepted by Mr. Fadatov, and it's been a long road, but it's been a great time, and I'm really happy to be here.
Earlier in the hour, we were listening to music performed by the Sphinx Ensemble, the Sphinx Virtuosi, this amazing group that was founded in Michigan. Did they ever cross your paths as you were growing up?
They have, but I've never been able to work with them, but I'm really excited to hopefully do the competition at some point. So that's something that I've been preparing for and hope to get there really soon.
Do you admire what they've accomplished in like 15 years?
Yes, definitely. It's just the thought of bringing African Americans in classical music and Latinos, that's something they work with as well, into light is really really amazing and really inspiring, and I love to watch the competition. I've seen it a few times live and a few times in recording, so it's just really inspiring to watch these musicians from all over the world come and play.
So when you were growing up, did you feel isolated at all as a classical musician, or did you find other folks that you liked to hang out with and play?
I always had friends who played, just because it's the nature of starting in the public school system. You have friends who play, and you get together, and you know, you practice your things, and then you go to orchestra class. But as far as my community goes, I guess I was a little bit of an outcast. You know, most people, what's a viola? You know, and then you know, having to explain it like 1,000 times. But and within my own community, I was a little bit of an outcast. But within my school community, I mean, it was pretty much accepted, and I had friends.
What year are you at Western, by the way?
Oh, this is my fourth year here, so I'm a senior.
You're a senior.
I am a senior. So.
Okay, and any plans for graduate school or beyond?
Definitely graduate school. I'm looking somewhere in the East Coast is the plan. So we'll see what happens with that. But
so, John, you're here to hang out with me this month and talk about some really awesome composers that folks will be totally fascinated by. And I think you've made a great first pick. Why don't you tell me a little about this fellow named Joseph Boulogne, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges.
Yes, he is quite the interesting fellow. He's kind of a superhuman in a lot of ways. So he's born Christmas Day in 1745, so that's, you know, 10 years kind of before Mozart was born. And he was born on the island of Guadalupe, and not much is known about his mother. She was kind of a Senegalese slave, they think. And his father, though, was a nobleman in the bedchamber of King Louis XV. So he's kind of this, like, you know, big guy.
So he was born in French-occupied Guadalupe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so he is of Afro-French descent, yes. He moved to Paris in 1759 with his father, which was kind of a big deal, having brought his legitimate family, as well as his illegitimate son and his mistress, to France with him in 1759. And he was very privileged in his education. He spent the first half of every day with tutors and such, taking classes. And then the second half of the day was spent in the sports hall. So he was quite a sportsman. He was an excellent fencer.
So he was dueling in the second half of the day, practicing swordplay.
Yeah, by his late teens, he was battling some of the best swordsmen in France. So he was quite the swordsman, as well as a marksman. He was quite an excellent shot from what I've been able to find in my research.
So an all-around amazing athlete.
All-around amazing athlete, definitely. Horse riding as well at the Tuileries School. He was quite the man.
When did he pick up a fiddle?
Not until the late 1760s is when he started his musical career. He took violin lessons with Leclerc and also Lully.
Those are two of the best musicians in France at the time.
Yeah, definitely. So he had a lot of privilege there. And Gossec, they believe that he taught him actually composition lessons. That can't be confirmed or denied, but they believe that they had a very close relationship and that he at some point taught him some composition. And then in 1769, he joined the Concert des Amateurs as the concertmaster. This was the orchestra that Gossec himself was conducting at the time, and it was rather large for the time, 76-member orchestra, and here he is, all of 20-something years old, as the concertmaster of this orchestra. And then in 1773, at 28, he took over, actually, as conductor of that orchestra, and this was the orchestra that did premiere Haydn's Paris symphonies, the six symphonies, later on in 1787, I believe.
Wow. Again, this fellow is Joseph Boulogne, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, who had a great deal of privilege and education via his father, a nobleman of France, and able to parlay that into an extraordinary career, not only as a sportsman, but as a musician. So do you think that the two are connected somehow? Dueling with a sword has something to do with musical ability?
Maybe something for his agility, maybe. But I have no personal connection in my life. I'm not very good at sports, so I can't speak for everyone. But maybe that did have something to do with his training, with his arms or muscle memory or something like that.
So you said he started writing music and composing works. What kind of things did he tend to write?
Well, his first published compositions were in 1773, and that was six string quartets that he wrote. And then he started to write symphonies shortly thereafter, symphonies and violin concertos. His symphony in A minor is one of his most well-known works. As well, but his violin concertos are what really show off his great compositional style, and it's more of that kind of gallant type style, very singing, flowing melodies, and gravely slow adagio second movements, and then nice light rondos. Pretty much very typical of the classical style, the early classical style, similar to Mozart. So,
do you know anything about the performance practice of the day? If he were to play his own concerto, would he be standing in front of the ensemble? Would there be a conductor?
If he were to play his own concerto, he'd probably stand in front of the ensemble. It'd probably be conductorless. He'd probably conduct from the violin. That would probably be the best setup there.
Do you attribute anything else to his amazing success?
Well, he was supposedly a very eloquent talker, speaker, and eloquent kind of man. So maybe that had something to do with his continued privilege throughout his life.
Did he die, a happy man? Wealthy?
No, not at all, actually. During the French Revolution, he was accused of misappropriating funds.
The Revolution.
Yes. The Revolution. He actually had his own legion. The Legion de Saint-Georges was the nickname for them, but it was a legion of all mulatto and colored Frenchmen who fought for the Revolution, which is really amazing to have his own legion. 200 mounted and 800 foot soldiers were a part of that.
Was he considered too much a part of the prior establishment, and that's what turned against him during the Revolution?
Maybe so. I think that must have had something to do with it. After being accused of misappropriating funds, he went to jail for 18 months, and then he was put on trial, and they let him go after that. He was kind of pardoned in a way, and then he hit on present-day Haiti for 2 years. got really depressed in Haiti, unemployed, came back to Paris, still unemployed, and he died of some sort of bladder infection, maybe bladder cancer of some sort. That's what ended up taking his life in 1799.
Yeah. How old was he then?
About 60 years old then when he passed away. So not a bad life for 17.
Yes. In the balance, in the balance, we see a lot of great high points for this composer. He was kind of like the talk of the town, I would think.
Oh, definitely. It's said that when he came into a room, you know, like people would start, oh, there he is, you know, he's the man. And he was considered quite, you know, quite the playboy, you know, very much flirtatious with the ladies and things like that. So, although he could never marry, which was really interesting.
Why not?
It's one thing he lacked in his life. It was illegal for a man of color to legally have a union with a French woman. So
in some ways, he was still very much set apart and more of a curiosity than a full member of the upper class society.
Definitely. I think that's what kind of led to that playboyness, kind of that exoticism. So that's kind of what led to that. But yeah, that's the one part of his life that remained unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think we should listen to a piece that you picked out by Joseph Boulon, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges. This is representative of Joseph in what way?
In his compositional style, very long, flowing, melodic lines. It's said that he could really take a melody and really kind of get all the juice out of it. And so there's a lot of that. The gravely slow second movement, which I mentioned before, that's in there, as well as the light, kind of very happy rondo movement at the end. So
very good. Well, John, we'll see you next week for a discussion on Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Yes, right? Yes, I'm very excited to talk about Samuel next week.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.